It is Saturday, August 24th, AEW All In Weekend. This is Josh Nason's Punch-Out. On today's show, we do a very overdue AEW quarterly business review slash investors call covering April, May, and June. Yes, we're going back a few months. My fault, my bad. A lot of random stuff going on this summer, put it that way. Things are good. But yeah, it's been a few months, but we're going to get in this. A fun conversation about AEW business, both past and current, even, of course. We sit on All In Weekends. The big TV deal going to be announced this weekend? I don't think so. Brandon thinks it might. Brandon being Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics joining me once again. So we talk about that, talk about all kinds of numbers, some interesting perspective, interesting quotes that happened just a few months ago, and how they fit into today, and all that other stuff as well. So enjoy the next hour plus of myself and Brandon Thurston talking AEW business, current and past, on Josh Nason's Punch-Out. Happy All In Weekend. Better late than ever, or never, whatever the phrase is, I try to say. Or I guess I don't really say because I don't know the phrase. I'm screwing up already. It's almost August. It is almost all in. It is late August. And it should have been done a while ago due to the Q2 AEW quarterly review slash investors call. I'll blame that completely on myself and quite a summer I've had with the family. Everything's good. Just a lot of bullshit. A lot of bullshit. Car stuff. You know,
yes.
Kids go to camp.
The SEC, you know, it takes time for the documents to be submitted in the right way.
True.
yeah, I think there is maybe a 30-day deadline that you do have to submit your 10Q to the SEC by. So I think we are well past that deadline. In fact, we may be facing some SEC violations. In fact,
well, that's unfortunate. Of course, the voice you're hearing right now is that of the man who always makes sure to double check where his Excel documents and info come from. It's Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics. Brandon, officially welcome. Well,
what are you alluding to?
I don't know. I don't know. You always got to check those sources. Always got to check them.
Are we going to be discussing any internal memos today?
Potentially. I might surprise you with one. I just found one. My neighbor actually handed me some stuff, so I think it's legitimate. I don't know. Say you found it somewhere.
You shared a Google Doc with me. Is this an internal memo?
Yes. We'll consider this an internal memo. I did not find this on Discord, though. This is actually, I created this myself.
Okay.
We can have fun with it at this point, I would say. Of course, what this is, if you're here for the first time, welcome. Brandon and I do essentially a quarterly review of all the AEW business-specific stuff that we know about. They're not a publicly traded company, of course. That would make things a little bit easier, but they're not. So we go quarter by quarter and just kind of go through all the stuff we know and some speculation and some informed, some not informed, because it is a podcast. That's how it goes these days, the wrestling podcasters. And some thoughts about the quarter ahead, which is about a month or so away of ending. Of course, it's Friday we're recording this. This will be up by Saturday. And of course, plenty of time before Sunday's All In. I'm glad to see that you're stateside, Brandon. You decided not to go despite your urges to go. And Pollock and Thursday, I heard you talk about your battle with heading overseas to foggy London town.
No, I went to Cleveland for SummerSlam and I got my fill of traveling for the summer. There was a point where I was considering going from my home in Buffalo to, what would it be, London, and then going from London to Berlin, and then going from Berlin for Bash at what is it called?
Bash in Berlin. Yeah.
And then the very next day, but with the time zone changes that you fly over in the process, get to Chicago in time for All Out. But I'm too tired for that now.
That's right. I think if those in their 20s are probably best set to do that. Single life, you know, no kids, no spouses, no commitments. Just get on the road and try to get in a press conference and ask some questions about wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or just sit in a press conference and not ask a question. That's sometimes that happens too.
Yeah. Or get stuck outside, not allowed in the venue. I mean,
that happens sometimes
to some people too.
As well.
Yes. Well, good. So we'll get some of the stuff. So again, we're going to talk about Q2, April, May, and June. There's plenty of good stuff here that even though it's a couple months old, Very interesting stuff to kind of where we ended up. So you got a little bit of a historical perspective here. And really, you know, we'll start with the kind of the big headlines and narratives as they do with the corollary reviews for TKO and other companies. It's all TV talk, Brandon. I don't know if you heard about this WBD deal that might be happening, could be announced this weekend. We'll find out. But there was a report during the month that Tony Khan was disappointed with the WBD offer, the initial offer for TV rights renewal, in which later that day, AEW denied that disappointment with and said they were fine with it, or didn't necessarily confirm there was one, but basically denied that was the story.
God forbid you ever feel any non-positive sentiment about your key business partner.
I know, exactly. All positives, all rainbows and lollipops there, and the best relationship ever between those two. Tony Khan said he could easily be sold on more AEW weekly programming. Their exclusive TV rights negotiating window lasts into the summer. We learned about that and ended apparently on July 29th. Is that kind of the official day that we know now?
Yes, I put that in your doc here. It certainly seems that way, and that aligns with what Fightful reported when it was expired, and nobody's denying that it expired at that time, and that would put it at or about, if we were writing a legal document here, at or about July 29th.
Got it. And then Tony Wright Khan talking about the TV rights negotiation. There will be a tremendous deal for AEW. Again, very vague. They also said the people on TV would kill for AEW's numbers. So that's kind of where we were at throughout this 3 month stretch, and a lot of conjecture, a lot of questions. People tried to get any answers. We had no real kind of the only real kind of like inroads that we made were when the negotiating window ended, finally.
Yes.
And also that there was a first offer. We don't know if there was disappointment or not, but the fact that the offer wasn't apparently accepted, as far as what we understand now, is that there had to be some disappointment because they didn't accept the offer. They kind of went back at it. And at this point, we don't know if other players are involved. We don't know if it's gone out to market. There was a report by Fightful this week that a second offer was made and was more than, and you guys
By
talked about,
WBD.
by WBD, and that the essentially that the off that it would be double. I think I can't remember the specific phrase, but it's like double what the current deal was. But of course, as you point out, Pollock and Thurston, there's some confusion in terms of what the current deal is, if it is referring to the initial deal for Dynamite or the new deal when Collision came on board, which we never officially got word about. We've had to kind of guess out how much it is. So
Right.
we don't, I guess the TLDR of this is we still don't know a lot, but there's a good chance this could get announced this weekend. We don't know, or it just might be a while. No idea.
When is this podcast going to be released? Before All In or after?
Before.
Okay, good. So I think it's very possible that we'll get an announcement at All In.
Okay.
If we don't get an announcement at All In, there's not much time left in this contract. I guess the only reason why you might put it off longer, I mean, if you do have another offer from WBD, I mean, and if it's good enough, I guess maybe they'll finalize it in time to make that announcement. I guess the only reason why you might put it off longer is because there is actual interest that you need to continue to explore with other partners. We have no sign that that there is any other interest. I've speculated the ones who make the most sense, just thinking it through, are Fox and Amazon. But Tony Khan was asked on the most recent pre-All In media call, which was yesterday as we're recording this, and Jason Powell asked him if there has been outside interest, which was my number one question, and he would not answer it and said he didn't want to get into specifics. So there's no sign that there is any strong outside interest, which is the why am I stressing this? Because that's the biggest factor. If AEW is going to get an increase or not, there are many factors, but the biggest one of all is how many bidders are there for this house. And if you got one bidder for your house, you're gonna get maybe market value for it. If there are five bidders bidding strongly for this house, you're gonna get a great deal. You're gonna sit back and look at which one do I want best. Maybe there'll be a second round of bidding, you know. So that's a big factor, and we don't have any positive signs in that direction. Here we are now, finally out of the exclusive negotiating window.
Right. The one thing about announcing it this weekend is you're announcing a U.S. domestic deal in front of primarily UK fans. So there's that factor. I wonder. Unless, so I was thinking about today, because during the call, and I don't know if you noticed the I think his answer is a little bit feisty when he was asked about why Dynamite didn't air live in the UK. And it was interesting the way, and listening to him, all these different calls and stuff, there was something I picked up on. Like, he seemed like a little bit annoyed with the question. I don't know why, because it really wasn't that hard hitting a question. Basically, it's like, did you try to get this? And he said, well, I wouldn't want to hurt my relationship with, WBD, and I'm le it's a it'd be illegal, Brandon, for me
Illegal.
to do this. Yes, the cops would come get him.
I suppose he's saying that it would be a breach of contract
Right.
somehow. And maybe there's some, who knows what's in their contracts. They could have some clause in the contract that says you can never air it earlier in any section of the globe. Who knows?
Sure.
Is it the case for WB? Like, when WB does their UK TV tapings that are taped like 5 hours ahead of time to our time, are they taped? Are they airing live in the UK?
No, they didn't. We got our spoilers
Okay.
from Twitter and people there. Yeah, it didn't air because
For
SmackDown.
WWE. Yeah, okay.
Oh, so for WWE, it aired like for oh my God, where they just go for Wales, right? Or the last place WWE went where they had a SmackDown in the afternoon, when they went overseas, they aired it live.
Glasgow, probably.
Yes, I think that might have been it. So we aired. We had someone that lives there in the UK watch it live and do a report for us, and then we did our
So it
report.
was on television live in the
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
UK.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why that question was naturally being asked then.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So for AEW, because we had asked, we were curious if it was going to air somewhere on Wednesday because it was being taped for that night, but if it was going to air live there, and it didn't even air live there in the afternoon. So if my. The reason I bring this up is because if as part of this announcement, he's going to say you'll be able to watch Dynamite and Collision live here in the UK whenever it airs, I can see that getting a pop in addition to, So they're like, okay, cool, we got this domestic deal. This doesn't really help us at all. But the UK fans might respond if he was to say that. My instinct, though, is if this thing is done, perhaps to announce it at All Out instead. You're
Okay.
stateside, you're in Chicago where this thing really began. And the all-in spectacle is going to have all this news coming out of it anyway. With All Out, we have basically one match confirmed. We have a title shot confirmed, I believe, and or like two matches, and that's it. And this 2 weeks away. So if the deal is basically done, and you're like, let's announce this stateside, I could see that being where it would be announced versus on Sunday.
I think we're fantasy PR booking here. So, like, I don't know. I think you could still, I see what you're saying in that there's going to be a lot of fanfare and press already on the day of All In. Why not put that big announcement the fall? Is All Out the following week or whenever it is,
2 weeks later.
2 weeks later? But maybe isn't there an argument that like it gets even that TV deal gets even more attention because it is surrounded by the biggest event rather than, I don't know, the one of the 10 biggest events the next 2 weeks. And maybe you could announce it at all in a way that's like doesn't get into the specifics of the actual distribution. So but still presents it in a way that's like we have a huge commitment and Tony Khan can stick it to all of his podcast enemies and we're sustainable for the foreseeable future. I don't know.
Yeah. Would you want to make the, if you're him, would you want to make the announcement on Dynamite as a nod towards your partner? You know what I mean? I'm just trying to think how he might think.
It does make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to get announced Sunday for a
As
few weeks,
opposed
but
to
we'll
doing it on
see.
a pay-per-view where some of it's on Bleacher Report, but a lot
Some.
of it elsewhere.
Yeah. Let's go to some of these other things then. Let's see. We had some talent releases. We don't get those often in AEW, but they did a round of cuts, not massive cuts. I think it was about, six or seven wrestlers. Then Tony Khan ended up rehiring one of them, Anthony Henry, because his jaw was broken at the time that he was out and he felt bad. So he brought him back. We saw increased crossover with always a promotion, CMLL, Stardom, and New Japan. Obviously for Forbidden Door, but CMLL had a major presence on AEW TVs and basically kind of essentially ended, for all intents and purposes, the AAA relationship, and the WWE of started playing their seeds for the same in terms of more cross promotion and not on necessarily in the main roster, but with NXT and TNA, we'd see that happening, and then with Noah, and they're starting to kind of get out there a little bit more. And as you point out on one of the shows, that since it was hinted to you, is due to avoid antitrust issues for WWE.
Yes, that's something that I was told that makes sense, and I don't think that where I heard that was, I think where I heard that was credible. And that makes sense. Is so AEW is basically done with Triple A.
They haven't officially said it, but essentially when you have
They're not going to
Conan,
say
I know, set you with like,
it.
Conan talking shit and saying what goes around comes around and all these
So
things
is
that
WWE gonna make friends with Conan?
I mean, who wouldn't want to, right? I mean, he was Max Moon so many years ago there. I think it makes a lot of sense if they're trying to get into Mexico is if you can't be with one, you might as well be with the other and see what you can do to, make this work, depending on what their goal is there. If it's just to gain a further foothold or something like that. I mean, they did pretty well when they did their house shows there a couple months,
Are Pentagon and Phoenix on good terms with AAA?
I don't think Pentagon is based on some of the stuff that has been reported. There's still some heat there, but money can change that pretty quickly. So yeah, I don't know about Phoenix. There's some question about whether AEW is going to extend Phoenix's contract due to the injury time. So a few things to be worked out there. If you remember this, we had the footage of the CM Punk Jack Perry altercation aired on Dynamite, and there's all the conjecture and lead up to that. What was going to be shown? Why was it going to be shown? We'll talk about why in a second. But this was the thing. It worked ratings wise for the week, and I know didn't really sustain. But there was just a lot of question of kind of like what's the purpose? What are you going to get out of that? So they got some coverage for it, that's for sure. But I don't know if it actually, as we look back in this, I completely had forgot this happened until I was going through this list. And I was like, oh yeah, that happened a couple months ago. So yeah, that was
And does it happen if Punk had not had that interview with Ariel Helwani a couple weeks before?
I don't think so.
I don't think that was a net positive for them. The scuffle, it certainly in your mind, in your imagination, for the months that we heard about this incident, it's you would imagine it to be much more, I don't know, violent than it was. I guess what makes it worse and even more fireable is that he kind of lunges at somebody who we presume is Tony Khan behind monitors, sort of obscured, but yeah.
Yeah, didn't really work, I think, as much as they had hoped. And then this one, AEW partnered with the City of Arlington for a six-show summer series, bringing Collision there on a weekly basis. And you had done some reporting, as you usually do with your Freedom of Information Acts and so on and so forth. And I've heard you're considering dual residency in Texas for all the time you've been spending
Yeah.
reporting on
You don't
events
need to
there.
be a citizen to do any public records requests, at least not in Texas. So, you do in Australia. Well, you need an address in Australia, I've learned.
Okay,
So,
gotcha. I have learned, he says with a
yes.
smile. But as you mentioned the other day, the tax credits there or the tax laws are pretty lenient in Texas. Hence, Joe Rogan and all these people are moving there. I mean,
Well, there's that.
you've heard their comparisons to Joe Rogan about yourself, so I'm sure.
I've been compared to Joe Rogan.
Well, your physicality and things like that, haircut and so on.
Okay. And a lot of my theories, I think, too. No, I think so. In Texas, in particular, they have this event program through it's their Economic and Tourism Development Department or whatever. And we have records showing how that benefited WWE in 2016 for WrestleMania in that year. And then when they went back to the same location in 2022. Basically, the local organizing committee, which in those cases was like the sports commission or whatever, they went through an application process and got fronted millions of dollars so they could pay a lot of the expenses that were associated with running WrestleMania. What happened with this residency? They got a discount. We know that. Was there any other sort of incentive or value that the AEW got? Not clear. Another records request has been sent. We'll see if we get any information about that and that. Not jumping ahead, but that does raise questions about what's going on with the All In next year, which is in Arlington.
Right. Yeah. I think you said one of the numbers, $232,000 at one point. But of course, it was trying to factor in, as you mentioned, credits and all these different types of things that can make it more financially feasible for AEW or any company to run in another place. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, just $232,000 was the cost of basically the cost of using the building. And there's some costs baked into that about production and then of course using the esports arena. So I calculated it out. It's something like if they sold 5,000 tickets at $45, then they cover that cost just on ticket sales. It looks like they came at least close, probably past 5,000 ticket sales based on the WrestleTix estimates of tickets distributed. So yeah, and that's not even considering, you know, whatever, however they do the accounting and consider the media revenue that's associated with Collision, contributing to those events too. So I'm sure it was a profitable event.
Yeah. I also, this comes to mind. I listened to this podcast called The Town with Matt Baloney, who's a former Hollywood reporter, exec, and co-owns Puck. And he was talking to somebody about all these tax credits, essentially tax credit wars with different states and countries in terms of what they give Hollywood productions to come in. It's a pretty fascinating listen. It made me think about some of these things as we talk about, as you've talked about, you know, WWE, the site piece they get and the incentives to come in. You did the piece on Las Vegas versus Minnesota, why Las Vegas ended up winning out, and to hear how these, you know, these towns and states and so on are putting aside all this money, in fact, increasing budgets to try to get Hollywood productions to come their way. Even, you know, Canada, London, England, for example, it's big over there. So definitely something to keep out more of an eye on and more Freedom of Information Act requests and so on as we go, because it seems just going to get more and more competitive as, you know, different entities try to get things to come to their neighborhood.
And we did see in this quarter, in this Q2, Double or Nothing got something like, I would have to pull the document up, hundreds of thousands of dollars in a tax credit, and seemed to have disclosed what the expense was for running the Collision and the Double or Nothing in Las Vegas in May, which was, I believe, over $2 million, which is, I suppose, if they're baking in the talent cost, that makes more sense.
When I'm following along with that, I didn't really understand how they could the talent cost with that. Like, are they trying to say that this is how much they figure out, like, here would be their pay for this night? Or, you know what I mean? When they say talent cost, like, does that include travel and things like that? I couldn't figure that out.
I would think it includes the travel to get them there, the hotels,
Okay.
flights, cars, all the expense, the media production expense, which I'm sure is in the many hundreds of thousands of dollars. You might get to over $1 million with the building rental and everything and the stage hands. I just don't know enough about how AEW contracts work. I think it's all guaranteed money. Do you have the same impression? And or I think it's you. You're contracted to work X number of dates for this. I think it's a guarantee. If you work more than X number of dates, then you get additional money. So maybe there's some way to calculate how much we're paying each talent who's at the show. I'm sure there are like accounting rules, even despite the fact that this is not a publicly traded company. I imagine that they are that their books are audited, hopefully.
And then we, of course, we had NFL Draft Week, if you remember this, and leading into this, the Dastardly Elite attacked Tony Khan during an episode of Dynamite. Shad Khan made his debut. I believe this is after Dynasty, or it was after Double or Nothing. I'm trying to remember which this was. I think it was after Dynasty, and or it was because he had the drafts in April. Tony Khan then wore a neck brace during the draft, selling it, kayfabe, brother, and eventually purchased it. Was going to auction it off for charity, mentioned that to Rich Eisen, the Rich Eisen show, and then decided to just pay for it himself for $100,000 and donate that to Rich Eisen's charity instead. During his media rounds for the draft, said that WWE is like the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling, and his controversial
Yes.
anti-WWE comments got quote unquote tons of coverage for AEW.
Was it
And
positive coverage, though?
no, I don't think so. I think it was more. More fodder for social media than anything.
There seems to be an impulsive streak that we see mostly off screen from Tony in some of his decisions, in some of his Twitter behavior. And although we did see it on screen on, what was that, on NFL Network or on ESPN, that he was wearing the neck brace and said the Harvey Weinstein comment, which is alluding to something real, right? It's alluding to the sexual misconduct investigations, federal investigation, the civil lawsuit that's happening around WWE. But I think, you know, similar to what we just talked about, the you know, airing the the Punk and Jack Perry footage, there's this, like, I think, urge to consume this sugar rush in the short term and justify it to yourself that this is going to have a long-term benefit, which is totally unverifiable after the fact, and tell yourself a story after the fact that, yeah, we're doing better because of it. And in the words of Murray Hodgson, I don't buy
Yeah, it was I mean, you go back, yeah, as we kind of go through here, almost like a ladder, like the punk stuff, this stuff, and other things. It's it never seem it doesn't seem to matter. It's, as you mentioned, I think sugar rush is a great way of putting it. It's a rush in the interim very quickly, and it just dissipates, and there's never a influx of business or interest or new profile pieces for those, mainstream outlets or anything like that. It's the same old, same old.
I mean, I think it's not unlike, and it includes, having an outburst on social media. Like, we all clapped back at somebody on social media, and I think we learn, and I don't know that Tony's learned it yet, that that's usually not worth it. It feels good for about a minute afterwards, and you got them and told them how it is, but it ultimately just draws more negative attention and more annoying things to you in the end. And I think it. Especially when you're the leader of a company, I think it's on becoming of a leader to do some of the things that he does. He comes off as like an undisciplined leader sometimes with some of these choices.
Yes, I've been on the end of that from a Tony Khan tweet before last
You've been
year.
replied to by Tony Khan?
Yes, for one, I didn't even mention him in. How about that?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Have you been on the other on the receiving end of any Tony Khan? Not that I expect you to disclose any. I'm receiving end of any Tony Khan DMs.
No, he's never DM'd me before. No.
Okay. I've heard that he will DM people and take issue with them at times.
Interesting, huh? Have you
Yes.
been on the end of that? Can you disclose that, or is this a non-confirmation confirmation?
We could have a whole discussion now here about like what's off the record and what's on background,
True.
but we'll leave it at that.
True. Let's go to some other headlines that happened throughout the course of the month that were notable for business. The company announced that they were heading to Wales for the All In Go Home shows, which just happened this past weekend. Both Dynamite and Collision taped on a Wednesday night. Something I think, depending on this TV deal, we might see more of in the future. These double tapings, who knows, depending on how it turns out financially. The company did draw a record low rating for an episode of Dynamite that barely topped 500,000 viewers, and this sent everyone into a tizzy for about a week until things stabilized again. There didn't really seem to be a good answer for why this happened. There was no real competition. I reread through the story yesterday.
It was Juneteenth. I think that's the two major factors, I think. So it was Juneteenth holiday, which is a new holiday for most states. But there have been programs since the Juneteenth holiday became something that was more widely recognized that didn't seem to be as affected. In any case, maybe it had an effect this time. In addition to that, because it was Juneteenth, TBS was not airing The Big Bang Theory. They
Oh,
were
that's
airing
right.
instead they were airing
It's a Black Panther.
Black Panther, yes. And before that they had aired 42, the movie about Jackie Robinson. So that's part of the excuse is that, oh, we didn't have our big strong lead in, which I think also raises the question, oh, okay, so if you didn't have this strong lead in, which you've got probably the strongest lead in wrestling. I've heard people when I've said that phrase, well, SmackDown probably has a really strong lead in, but who knows what it is because we're talking about things that are outside the nationwide prime time window with SmackDown, what's ever on at 7:30. Could be Wheel of Fortune or something. I don't know. But nonetheless, and it's certainly the Big Bang Theory is certainly a stronger lead in than, say, Law and Order or NCIS or whatever is on before Raw and NXT.
Silk
So,
stockings.
yeah, I wish. Walker, Texas Ranger, Murder, She Wrote, not Andy Griffith though.
No.
So it raises a question of like, if you just weren't in this fortuitous situation where you have one of the most highly viewed rerun programs in all of US television on right before you, oh, your average viewership would actually be a few percent lower. It would be like 5% lower all the time. But clearly, in addition to that, it was such an anomaly. There must have been some sort of holiday effect happening there too, in addition to that.
Yeah, there was also this I don't think sense that, but Kendrick Lamar kind of event that was took over social
Yes.
media. So, but
Yes.
to your point, the fact that they can have so many people be like, I'm just going to move to this instead. I find that's super interesting to me. You mentioned the lead in and things like that. They have so much of a fickle audience or percentage that they're like, okay, we're just going to go do something else. You know, it's I find that interesting. Let's see what else we have. AEW announced a partnership with U2s. Never heard of them for collectible figures. You don't really hear much about their toy sales or anything like that. Just, you know, pictures online and such like that. They
So this
announced.
is like Funko. Is that what those are called? These are
Yeah,
like big head figurines or something.
yeah.
Yeah. Do we know if AEW figures are still like widely distributed in department stores like Walmart and Target?
The only time I ever see someone mention a figure is when they're trying is a wrestler insulting another wrestler. That's really about it. That's only the only time I see that. And I'm not even talking about the CM Punk Hangman Page stuff. It's like that's the only
Or
time I
people
see.
celebrating that they finally have their first figure.
Exactly. Yeah. I just don't see much of it. And so I don't really know if they're kind of getting frozen out or no interest or what the deal is. It's very possible. I'm sure there's figureheads right now. Literal figureheads are just, you know, saying that of course is big. I have a whole wall full of them. But they also announced a change to the all out date. Thankfully moving it back from 1 week after All In to 2 weeks after. I think that was smart, getting it off the Labor Day holiday. You know, Tony does love his bank holidays. He mentioned yesterday about All In. He loves the term bank holiday. Like it's just funny.
That's a British term, isn't
I guess, yeah, he uses that all the time. But yeah, so they moved All Out 2 weeks, still in Chicago and not the United Center, but staying at the Now Arena, which attendance wise is probably pretty smart for them. The company there was a report out, I believe, by Andrew Zarian that Forbidden Door is going to be set for Arthur Ashe Stadium this year, kind of changing up that whole thing. That did not obviously take place. It headed to the UBS Arena instead, and then they later officially announced that Grand Slam would return to the Arthur Ashe Stadium in September for its usual date there. And ticket sales, to no big surprise, are very, very slow for that, according to WrestleTick numbers, as there are for a lot of events coming up, including this Wednesday in Chicago. And they're working a big arena. And I think last night when I looked at WrestleTick, it was like 1,800 tickets were out, like for a massive arena.
1,386 for Champaign, Illinois
Oh
on
my
August 28th is the
God, that.
current count. And Arthur Ashe Stadium on September 25th is currently at 3,621 as of
Three
an update yesterday. Yeah.
3,000 for something
600.
that was such
19,000
a
first time.
huge, yeah. Wow. We'll talk more about that stuff in a minute. I like this when they announce their entire pay-per-view schedule for the year. WWE has done this as well. I like that. I think it's smart. And yeah, I love kind of knowing ahead of time where places are going, dates, all that stuff as well. This Ram story about the Oklahoma Athletic Commission issued a warning to the company over Nyla Rose appearing because she's transgender. And this had some obviously blowback from a lot of people. And they're considering a rule change for transgender wrestlers. And so we'll see kind of how that turns out. I don't know when they're planning to go to.
So they
But
had a meeting in July,
okay.
and there was at least there were two people I understand from the local independent wrestling scene that were at the meeting, and I understand that the it's not set in stone the rule change, but that they came away from that meeting feeling positive that the rules would be changed. I think December is the rough timeline for that, so we'll see if it happens or if. We'll see if AEW goes back to Oklahoma at any point, and then certainly the question will be raised.
Company announced they're launching a new gaming podcast with Adam Cole and Evil Uno. Adam Cole can't appear on TV, but he certainly can on a podcast. Company no longer available on Televisa Univision's VIX platform. This is one that I was trying to track down and along get some information about the DAZN deal overseas that basically that quietly kind of went away as well. And I think you and I talked about like kind of what could this mean? Like are they, you know, is it a some people thought they're going to try to do the next Netflix thing and combine all these. I'm like, I don't think so. And I tried to get a comment out of Televisa, but I didn't get much there. But yeah, in Mexico and so on, all of a sudden these deals, which are multi-year deals, they announced like last year, all of a sudden just both just gone. So I thought that was a little bit surprising there. They hired their new senior marketing director of live events. I don't think that was Koshy Irby. I think that was the time that was he's the COO. So they hired a new live event production person. I believe might have been from WWE, if I remember right.
Brian Jeremy Dale, Flynn.
Yes, I believe WWE. It was in his past. The company, Brian Danielson, revealed that his contract expired before All In. So right now, as he claims, he does not have a contract with AEW, but he said he wanted to wrestle at Wembley, which he obviously is. And the company said, or Tony Khan said, it was a top priority for them to re-sign him. And at this point, we've heard nothing on either count. And I guess it would kind of lead into the stipulation if they want to reveal that or anything. But he's certainly going to be there. I can't imagine him taking a last-second multi-million-dollar offer from WWE to no-show.
He could show up at Bash in Berlin right after All In, maybe. Yeah. Jeremy Flynn is not former WWE, but he is former professional bull riders, which is also
TKO.
Koshy? I've been reprimanded on my pronunciation. Koshy Irby is also former PBR.
Yes, PBR for life. The beer and the bull riding. There was Renee Paquette in RJ City. There was announced they're going to host Meal in a Match, his new YouTube series. We've had one episode and that's it. So we'll see what happens with that. Perhaps that's a sticking point in this big TV rights negotiations. The company officially launched this Figure Fighters game with TNT Sports, this mobile game. I never hear anything about that. They announced this QR code surprise for Follow the Monet for Mercedes Monet. I think some people thought this could be something similar to the Bray Wyatt stuff, the White Rabbit, and maybe some sort of intrigue. No such intrigue. I think it was just a money thing or something. I haven't heard anything else about it, so that clearly didn't work. Company continued their collaboration with Reebok with a Brody Lee honorary shoe. Of course, this follows like the Young Bucks who had their own deal and so on. And the company made their past pay-per-views and special events available for purchase on Triller. And bundles or by singles. So their relationship with Triller keeps going and people could buy stuff at a pretty good discount from what I remember the packages were and so on and so forth. That's, you know, years old pay-per-view should be, but, you know, the lack of a streaming service and so on, you know, people really wanted to see something and didn't, you know, have access to it in a BR or keep it. They can actually, you know, watch these old pay-per-views and, you know, probably not significant revenue, but at least an avenue for people to watch stuff for now.
Yeah, I came across in some of the disclosures that have been happening because Triller is like perpetually in the process of a merger. That they did make a specific disclosure. I don't remember what the number is, but they did make a specific disclosure about the amount of money that they make from AEW because AEW is such a big partnership for them that it probably rises to the level of being material for that business if they were to say lose AEW as a partner. That's probably why they had to disclose that. So they do explicitly say AEW provided X percent of Triller's revenue, and it was in the multiple millions.
Oh, interesting, huh? And yeah, that was kind of the other, the major headlines. Of course, they had three pay-per-views through this quarter. AEW Dynasty from St. Louis in April. There's an estimate of about 122,000 pay-per-view buys. They had a sold 6,287 sold. Don't have an actual announced attendance, but the gate was, I believe you might report this, 401,373.
I'm sure this is Polestar. Yeah.
So just over 400,000 for Dynasty there. Double or Nothing from Las Vegas in May. This is at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Estimate was about 134,000 buys. A gate, Tony Khan said over 11,000 people. The paid number, 9,099 for a gate of just over $582,000. And Forbidden Door returned to the or debuted at the UBS Arena in Long Island, New York. Pay-per-view range 122,000 to 127,000 is the estimate. And according to Tony Khan, this has ever been corroborated by Polestar or anyone else, over $1 million gate from what he said. So, yeah, it was the pay-per-view still, that range stays consistent. You know, it's not necessarily going up and to the right, but it's also not cratering or plateauing at this point. So, you know, consistent revenue. And again, if part of this is some sort of the negotiations include pay-per-view or something along those lines, I mean, there's consistent revenue there. So they'd obviously get a good chunk of change for that. But for some reason, I just don't think they're going to let that pay-per-view revenue go. Possible.
I just don't know. I guess we're asking, is pay-per-view going to continue to be a la carte in its traditional format, or will it be licensed as part of a new deal on Max or something like that, like WWE pay-per-views are on Peacock? I think the going rate for pay-per-view for AEW for a year is something like 20 million. I think I've got my estimate here somewhere. I'm just going to look at it. I have for this year, I'm estimating, am I estimating that? I think about 22 million, something like that.
In pay-per-view
So,
revenue?
yes, it's a net revenue.
Yep.
This is not before the split. This is after the split and all
Sure.
that. So, something like $20 million is the going rate, I would say, for, well, it's what they're getting. Right. So to cannibalize your own business, you're going to need something, I think, significantly more than $20 million to make that deal, for that to make sense. Right. And maybe it's worth, $30, $40 million to max. You'd calculate that by thinking like, well, what kind of subscribers is it going to drive? What's the cost of acquisition per customer in terms of the marketing value that we have to invest to get somebody to sign up to Max? AEW would be helping to provide that just by getting people to sign up, et cetera. Who knows what
Yeah.
David Zaslav will do, though.
Zaz. The interesting thing with it too is Max is not cheap to get. You can't, it's hard, you can't really get like all these other platforms. You should get a pretty good discount. You can use codes to get some good stuff. I believe their lowest rate for ads is $9.99 a month. If you sign up for a year, which I did, for no ads, I get a disc, I guess deal of like $110 a month. So it's not, it's not like a Peacock or Paramount Plus on the super cheap, but it's up there with Netflix in terms of cost.
We have $9.99 with ads, $16.99 ad free, and $20.99 ultimate ad free, where
Which is multiple
you get to stream on
screen.
four instead of
Yeah.
two devices, higher definition, yada yada. And then there's some you can sign up yearly. They're also offering a bundle. This has turned into an ad here. They're also offering a bundle. You can bundle Max with Hulu and Disney, which are totally different companies,
Yeah.
for $16.99 a month. Or
Right.
no ads for 30 a month.
And then the venue thing, which apparently is on hold right now due to a lawsuit from Fubo.
Yes.
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 And all that. So we'll see how all that turns
Which is
out. But
kind of a, I mean, depending on how successful that would have been, it's kind of a big deal to AEW in terms of they would have had stronger distribution in theory.
potentially. Yeah, it depends on how many people you think actually would that don't have some sort of way to watch it now or
Right.
what
What would
have
that mean in
what.
terms of net ads to the
Right.
entire TV industry now?
Correct. Yeah. So yeah, how they structure pay-per-view in their new world, I'm super interested about because they've opened this up to all these different providers, which is good, you would think. Some people are like, I'm never going to buy through BR again. So if you do an exclusive with BR, you're turning off people that are like, I have all these issues. I'm not going to. I'm more comfortable buying through YouTube or a pay-per-view.com or a Triller. So I would think that, even if they stick with pay-per-views, I feel like they probably will. You would think that they would want to keep this open, like anyone can buy this in any way to not restrict anything. But yeah, I'm kind of interested how that turns out. And they've really done more bundling and stuff with Triller, and now they're doing pay-per-view bundling, like future pay-per-views from at a discount with Triller, and none of these other companies are doing that. So I find that interesting as well.
I guess it's possible. So Max is not just a US streaming service like Peacock is, right?
Right.
Max is, as we learned recently, is now in France as well as Monaco. And
That's
there is
right.
some AEW content
Yes.
on demand, not live on there. I guess if they made a deal for pay-per-view content and for live broadcasts, that Max would probably take over Triller in those markets. I don't know. These are just idle thoughts. I have no strong sense of like how WBD calculates whether pay-per-views are worth, are pay-per-views worth to them well over $20 million? I think that math is hard to make
Right.
sense, but that's just an intuition without getting the spreadsheets out.
And we also should mention that WBD is not in a good financial spot. And those that listen to wrestling podcasts certainly know what's
Their
going
debt is
on.
an asset, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. And they, Yeah, but they wrote down essentially their cable networks. I don't know if I'm phrasing that right, but they essentially there's a lot of not good financial stuff going on there. That it looks like they're probably definitely going to lose the NBA despite this lawsuit, even if they get a payout. It's cash. It's not necessarily a year. You know, you're going to lose considerable amounts in terms of what you can get from cable providers. That was the reason that so many speculate that Comcast decided to go in, because not only would they then need to pay, they could then pay TNT less or WBD less for using TNT because they don't, or TBS because they don't have the NBA anymore. But then they also steal that away and put some more stuff on Peacock, which is a pretty shrewd move. But yeah, WBD, it's not great to be WBD, no matter how many hats Tony Khan puts on. But he seems to be loyal to them, so I guess we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah, I mean, the WBD is just not as diversified, right, as Comcast, which is doing better because they're ruining your day with their telecom. And then Disney is not just some TV networks and a movie and production company, but it's also theme parks and things like that. And we're seeing the skinniest of all. Paramount is now being dealt, or whatever's happening there with Skydance and all that. So I think it's, you know, WBD as a independent entity is probably not long for the world. Which doesn't mean like those networks are going to go away and
Right.
AEW is going to die, but those networks will be consolidated into maybe NBCU or something like that.
Yeah, we're still a long ways away. We've been saying this for a while. We're still a long ways away from these networks disappearing. There's a brand value to them. And even though those of us that are very plugged in to social are attributed to, like you were saying, people's like, oh, this is going to die. This is going to go away. There's a whole giant section of the country that does not listen to any of this at all. And they enjoy flipping on what they flip on, and they like easy access, and that's that. And I think we tend
Half
to
of
forget about
all
those people.
TV, half of all TV time spent in the United States is still through the traditional TV channels. Less than half of it is streaming. Another chunk of it is gaming. You can look at the Nielsen gauge every month that they put out, and it's and when the NFL's in season, it's more than half. So it is declining, and it will continue to decline, and maybe it'll get to a hard stop point where it's just people over 50 watching. But it's still gonna, yeah, as you say, it's still going to, it draws, it's still the biggest piece. It's still the biggest piece of distribution that there is.
So let's go to some live events here. By my tally, and I need to look at your data, I had 27 live events for the quarter. I had 13 live Dynamites, 10 live Collision episodes, 12 total. There were five live. Now I'm not. My total includes Dynamite, Collision, the pay-per-views, and also Supercard of Honor. 13 live Dynamites, 10 live Collisions. There were 12 total. Five live Rampages. There was 13 episodes total. Of course, Rampage had a ton of preemptions during Q2, and there was a lot of 3-hour blocks and such on Saturdays. There was one Battle of the Belts that was live that was held after a Collision. Again, three pay-per-views, and I also had Supercard of Honor as well, which drew and announced 3,266 to Philly. No gate provided on that, but yeah, I think it should be. I double check. I'm pretty sure it's right. It's 27 by my count, but I could be off by a little bit.
I have only nine dynamites. What's wrong with me?
Nine
I have nine dynamites, six collisions. You have 10.
for the quarter.
Yes. And I have three pay-per-views.
I'll have to look. I assumed all those dynamites were
That
well.
was, you have Battle of the Belts as an independent live event?
No, it'd be 13, 10. So we do math live in the air. 10, 13 dynamites, 10 collisions. So it'd be 23. The pay-per-views are 26, and Supercard of Honor would be 27.
All right, we'll sort this out later.
Okay, we will. Follow along at home. We'll figure that out. Anyway, they had a good amount, but we'll get to attendance and stuff in a sec. Arrivals and returns. Carlos Cabrera, even he couldn't change the turn of attendance. Carlos Cabrera, of course, former WWE Spanish language announcer, joined the company during the quarter. Roosh came back. Camille reportedly signed a contract and did in February. Of course, she didn't debut until was it July or this month? Very recently, she debuted. Alicia Toot signed the company and later caused some trouble with MJF, of course. And RD Evans, released by TNA Wrestling or parted ways, and he joined the creative team in AEW. We had some departures, and I expect, you know, we'll see a lot more of these as time goes on. Quiet departures, as we've seen, like I think it's assumed like Danhausen is no longer with the company, but it's never been announced that he's not. He's just doing indie dates all over the place. But Matt Hardy, Arn Anderson, Jake Hager, Mark Henry, Ethan Page, Satnam Singh. I say Satnam Singh. He was moved to the broadcast portion of the roster, and not in ring. So I guess we'll say that. Then of course the aforementioned, you know, mass releases. Not really mass, but like Stu Grayson, Parker Boudreau, again Anthony Henry, those types. So it wasn't a ton of like big name departures, but you know, a few people that they just decided just was time to move on, and a few people have got jobs, and a few people have not. Notable, of course, Ethan Page, now the NXT champion, and Arn Anderson appearing on WWE TV recently in a big old hug to Cody Rhodes. Some injuries, not a ton of like high-end injuries in terms of you think would affect ratings or affect any type of business, but A. Kingston, probably top of the list. Big fan favorite, going to be out for quite some time. Ortiz, Juice Robinson, The Blade. Ruby Soho, I've heard her is being injured, more like out because she's pregnant. Powerhouse Hobbs, Julia Hart, Yuka Sakazaki, Chuck Taylor, Jim Ross, who is always perpetually seems dealing with something and so on. So obviously we hope he's okay. And he's come back since then. Kira Hogan and Tony Khan said he's considering, he said this on Wrestling Observer Radio, considering an AEW injury report show. That would be great. Imagine that for extra programming.
Was Tony Khan on the injured list at any point due to his damaged neck?
I mean, I should have put him on there, but he recovered. He's built different, Brandon. He's built different.
When you have a lot of wealth, you have access to better health care, I've heard.
You certainly do. I like this Excel sheet you have up on the screen. You're trying to count out the dynamites?
Do you want to sort this out here? This will be terrible audio. I have 13 dynamites.
Yeah,
I have 10 collisions.
That's what I had. Yep.
And I have 3 pay-per-views, and you have the same.
Correct. And then, for total episodes. So yeah, those are all the live dates. So remember, a few of those dynamite collisions were the twin bills. So there were 12 episodes total of collision, but 2 of those were taped after dynamite, like one in Worcester. And then there was one at a different place. And obviously the rampages are just filmed after. So yeah, we're on the same.
We're good now. 13, 10, 3.
You got it. And and I include the Ring of Honor just for, because it's a con company, put it that way.
Yes.
See, everybody, disagreements can be settled civilly. Imagine that.
With an Excel spreadsheet.
We'll bring those to the presidential debates in September. Yes. Quotable quotes as we start to round the bend here. CM Punk said AEW is, quote unquote, not a real business. He discussed Tony Khan's leadership on, as you mentioned, Ariel Helwani's show. Khan declined to respond to verbally, but it can respond in his own way, putting the footage of the All In scrap from last year on TV, which we talked about earlier. Cody Rhodes said he disagrees with CM Punk's assessment of Tony Khan AEW. Adam Copeland had a big promo responding to quote-unquote negative BS on AEW Dynamite. Brandi Rhodes said that what she feared with that company being AEW, I was seeing. Shawn Michaels said there's so much talent in AEW. Tony Khan said, yes. Oh. Yes, Tony Khan said, AEW and WWE's mutual hate is a quote-unquote natural resource that powers the industry. Potential big free agent name, it's always been talked about, AEW, Goldberg, said he's not interested in signing because the product is too cheesy. Tony Khan then responded later, said he's a good friend, or a friend, and said that Goldberg said he wanted to work in AEW, so how about that? Tony Khan says social media makes for quote-unquote healthy competition in wrestling. Tony said he
social
also...
Social media does?
Yes. Yes. Social media and healthy should never go together.
No. No.
He also said that he's had interest in adding more titles, that being the AEW mixed tag team titles. We haven't heard about that yet, and hopefully never will. Tony Trump, I mean, Jesus. Do we need any more titles in this company between everything? Like, just both companies, just stop doing this. It's so good. It's crazy.
There's so many great wrestlers, though, Josh. There's so many great wrestlers in AEW, and there's so many great matches to be had. And I think it would be great to have another great title in AEW, so we could have more frequently designate who is great, because they all are.
Yeah, yeah. You're getting better at your Tony Khan long answers there, positive answers. But I think with both companies, and actually all the companies, it's booking crutches. Just like, we need something for these people to do. Just them being wrestling and being out there isn't enough. Everyone has to be pursuing a specific division in the entire company. So it's like, well, we'll just create a title. We'll create a title. And then you get what we have now, which is people don't know what the importance of each belt is. They need a hierarchy. That's what we always had growing up, and that's what we should have now.
What's this? So this will be irritating. What's the more valuable title, the TNT title or the continental title or the international title?
I think, yes, I've had the same question. I think the international title is more, they're trying to make that into the number two.
So that's okay.
I think in my
It's
eyes,
number
it
three.
goes world, international, TBS, and continental.
Okay. So Okada is the lowest rung here.
I think the title is because he never defends it. It's like a ceremonial type thing. And that whole thing about how they had this continental crown, this triple crown, they had, I think, for maybe
Yes.
3 days. And then there's like, okay, we're done. We're going to
Is
split all
there
these
still
titles.
a New Japan Strong title? Is that gone?
It is. It's back with, who has that now? I cannot remember off the top of my head who has it, but no one in AEW has it right now. Yeah.
Mercedes Moné has the women's version.
Correct. Correct.
Yes.
But the men's title, they don't have. But yeah. And then, of course, Mark Briscoe has the ROH title. And,
Oh, yeah.
yeah, everyone split up. Tony Khan at this point had never met or talked to Shane McMahon. Oh, how that would change. Kevin Kelly was going to plan to sue AEW. I include this in here because, we have to, in every of these reports, they add all the legal stuff in, right? And all the potential
Yes.
lawsuits and things like that. I mean, this could be a multi-million dollar suit that could affect the company for years to come.
I am searching every day alongside my searches for parties such as Vince and Kenny McMahon and World Wrestling Entertainment. I also do an All Elite Wrestling search, and I have been searching for Kevin Kelly's real name as well. I have not found anything yet. At least these are federal lawsuit searches. The state level stuff is, you got to get further into the weeds, but I'm aware of no. There's one nuisance lawsuit out there that I think WWE is also named in, but there are no federal active lawsuits against AEW currently.
Good to hear. Tony Khan also said, I spent more than I planned going into this year on AEW Ring of Honor. So he needs that big TV deal to make this stuff balance out. Don't want to have him have a tough Christmas. You know what I mean? Let's, before we go in the five questions for next quarter, kind of our forecast, why don't we go over some of these fancy spreadsheets and charts you have here. And we'll start with viewership, Q2 viewership. Why don't you go ahead?
It's down.
Breaking news.
so we'll look at total viewership first, and Dynamite's down, Collision's down. Now the Collision comp is compared to those two most highly viewed episodes last year, Q2. So you may, okay, throw that out. But Rampage is down too. Dynamite's down 17%. Rampage is down 19%. That's in total viewership though. What about the demo? For the demo, Dynamite is down 19%. Rampage is down 11%. Collision with that skewed comparison is down 48%. Again, that's this entire quarter versus the two episodes in the quarter last year. What about cord cutting? Cord cutting, I think you can offset, throw in an offset of about 9% on these. These are all worse than 9%. So this reflects, I think, a genuine popularity metric here in the sense of like, if you, even if you gave this a 9% adjustment, it's still quite negative. And it reflects to me a genuine loss of interest in AEW's programming. However, what we don't have here, conveniently, is that Dynamite continues to rank really well. It ranked number one 2 weeks ago as we're speaking, and it's usually in the top five. The most recent Wednesday was against the DNC, and there was tons of cable news coverage that was filling up the top 10. But it's Dynamite continues to rank really strongly. Rampage and Collision probably outperform what would be the replacement programming, which would be rerun movies, perhaps The Big Bang Theory. So it's still a valuable TV property, and it's still in a good position to get a strong renewal.
Yep, I would agree. And of course, some of these charts you'll be able to see on WrestleNomics. You can subscribe to for just $5 a month. Go to Patreon, search for WrestleNomics, or to go to WrestleNomics.com for the link there. Having said that, let's go to the 18 to 49, what the kids like to call the key demo, correct?
I already did that. I just did that.
Oh, you did that. I'm sorry.
Yes,
Yes,
that's
you
fine.
that's right. That's right. As you went going through that. Absolutely. I was so
We can do
excited to get
tickets next.
The WrestleNomics read out there. I jumped ahead. Let's go to my favorite because I used to live in this world of attendance.
Yes.
Let's go to attendance for Q2.
It's down. That's how it's doing. So Dynamite is probably the cleanest events type to look at, and Dynamite in this quarter was 3,600 versus 5,100 in the prior your quarter. Collision, again, a skewed comparison because we're looking at it against the United Center and whatever the second collision was. But it's at 3,100 as opposed to 6,500. The pay-per-views on average are down. And even in terms of total, despite running what, three pay-per-views in this quarter versus two pay-per-views in the same quarter of last year, the total is slightly up. It's relatively flat at 25,800 versus 24,200 in the prior year. The clean, if we're looking at what's AEW's popularity, I think the cleanest thing to do is look at Dynamite, and Dynamite is down by what, 29%.
Yeah, it's interesting with these, and it's just it's a downward ladder, you know, year over year, and you just wonder how far it can go. And
Maybe
also,
the wrestling business is down across the board right now, though.
oh sure, right, is that WWE? Yeah, they have a lot of empty seats on hard cam, right?
The WWE is in the total opposite direction, really generating from a similar starting point. These
Yeah.
two, the TV ratings and the attendance for both of these companies have gone in opposite directions, beginning in the same at the same time, roughly the middle point or so of 2022, when something significant must have happened.
Yeah, what was that again?
There's some good stock market
Oh,
reporting in the Wall Street Journal, I
yeah.
think.
That's right. That's right. Certain VKM is a travails get out there. I wonder, yeah, I guess we're I wonder how low this can go. I also wonder when I mentioned this earlier, I mentioned this last time we did this is like, you know, what can they do to counteract it? I don't know if the return of Kenny Omega will help. I mean, MJF came back and that didn't help. I just don't know how many more rabbits they can pull out of the hat to really make it feel buzzworthy. Or people like, I have to go see this because looking at the numbers, I mean, year over year, it's consistently down. And I mean, you look at, you mentioned some of the advances coming up. It's just, I mean, they haven't made the adjustment, which I thought they would into playing smaller venues consistently. They're still going to these large NBA venues and NHL in big arenas. It's for TV. I don't know. I think the residency at Collision was smart, and I wonder if they'll try to do more of those combined tapings or something to maybe, again, depending on what this TV deal is, reduce cost, but also, you know, less live dates to have to pull France from. I'm fascinated with how they try to figure this out, and Mr. Irby has quite a challenge ahead of him.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to pull up the numbers now, but for Q3, I think things are looking a little more flat as opposed to being as negative as they look in Q2. So if we look into the future here, it's plateauing, right? As I'm scrolling and scrolling. So Dynamite quarter to date is in Q3 is 3,900, and we're halfway, more than halfway through, versus in the same quarter of the prior year, it's at 4,900. So it's down about 1,000. Anyway, so that wasn't really reassuring. But I think this is kind of what this is what kind of what the company is. It's probably a viable business. It's probably going to become a profitable business when they get a renewal, and it'll exist as an interesting number two wrestling company. Now, what do you say to this? Like, well, why can't you just be satisfied with that? Why do you like have this idea in your head that AEW has to like get up and compete with WWE? Doesn't that say a lot more about WWE than it does about AEW? Because WWE got so bad, their business was so bad that they came close to AEW. Why can't you just be happy that AEW is going to draw 50,000 people? Imagine if somebody had told you 6 years ago before the launch of AEW that some promotion that's not WWE was going to go and draw 50,000 people to a stadium. You would love that, but now you're just a jaded anti-AEW hater.
Yeah. Good point. Good promo.
I guess I would say that I think there are pretty obvious ways in which it could be substantially, significantly better. In the sense of like, you know, it needs to be a strong alternative, and I don't know what it is. It's another kind of like WWE wrestling program, and it's getting closer to being what TNA was in terms of its place in the industry. It's becoming kind of WWE light. And there was a reason for AEW's being in 2019 and in 2020, and into 2021. And when Vince McMahon resigned and became less involved in creative and seems now to be directly completely removed, WWE got better and got more popular. And WWE became, its TV ratings went up, its trust with fans went up. And whether AEW super fans feel the same way or not, look at the numbers, and that's what it tells you. And at the same time, in, you know, around 2022, there started to be problems with CM Punk, and eventually he left the company about a year ago. And AEW lost not only their top face in CM Punk, but they also lost their top heel, even though he never appeared on screen, Vince McMahon. And that was such a contrast for AEW to define itself against, that there was this dissatisfying product out there that was pissing off fans, that was pushing talent who wanted to be creatively fulfilled out of the company to find creative fulfillment elsewhere. And AEW was able to offer a refuge to that. The business utterly changed in the summer of 2022. And AEW has no well-defined identity at this point once that was shattered, in my opinion.
Well, we're the best wrestle. That's a difference.
But we're the best wrestle, just not against each other.
Occasionally.
It's so, like, what is AEW's identity right now? I would say an AEW enthusiast would tell you that there's better wrestling in AEW than WWE. Things are a little more authentic in AEW. But I think there's just basically no awareness or grappling with the ways in which the wrestling business creatively has created all of these habits that are just so transparent to everybody. And the things that Vince McMahon has indoctrinated so deeply into the wrestling business, into the creative of everybody, are it's just, we're just goldfish swimming around in water, not realizing we're in water. And I think you look at things like the Maximum Male, MXM, and you look at things like Tony Storm, and look at both of those things, and they're getting over and they're doing well. And it's a short-term benefit. And look, they're getting over. How can you be such a negative Nancy against people who are doing well and who are getting over? Nonetheless, it's preventing AEW from having a more defined identity. Why do I need to watch AEW when there's a much higher scale version of the same product over here with plenty of content of its own?
Right. Yeah, it's I think there's no doubt the business has benefited from having AEW in it for a lot of reasons. And think about, I mean, if you just went to the in-ring alone, there's 50 to 100 matches we would have never seen, and probably 25 to 30, throw anecdotally, high-end, like, Apex-level shit that we would have never seen without AEW. It just wouldn't have happened. And there's probably more to come, but you're right. What is the identity? And that was always the claim about TNA when they tried to make their push, was it's WWE light. It's not different. And you wonder, with all these changes, again, bring in a lot of voices from WWE.
Right.
That's the only pro wrestling promotion.
Everything from writers to production people.
Yeah, yeah.
Who have, I put a poll out a few months ago that I don't read the replies, but I heard people on podcasts talk about it. So it must have made some people angry. Well, what's more like WWE in 2019? WWE in 2024 or AEW in 2024? And I don't think the answer is terribly clear. It's kind of a rhetorical question, okay? But I think that should catalyze a conversation, in that it's a lot of the personnel of WWE in 2019, not just talent, but people behind the scenes too. I will say this though, that AEW and Tony Khan are a wrestling fan, like a lot of probably people listening to this are wrestling fans, and like, you would never see Minoru Suzuki come out and have these cool matches with people who never, is on US TV. that is astonishing that's happening, where you got Katsuyori Shibata out there doing stuff. So he's going into a tape trader place that a lot of people really appreciate, that has been kind of taken for granted and insulted, and in fact, not even been related to in wrestling history pre-Tony Khan. And that's a really nice thing. But it's an identity crisis, in that you are a remedy to WWE. WWE fixed itself. Now what are you?
Yep.
And I don't know if there's an easy answer to that. But the better that AEW is, the better it is for the fans, for the wrestlers, the more money that AEW makes, the more aggressively they can long-term compete for talent. And that's good for everybody.
Let's round off with pay-per-view buys here. So why don't you hit us with these, and then we'll go the final five, and we'll go from there.
That was in the middle of a chart rant, I guess.
Yes. chart rants.
So we had three pay-per-views in this quarter. Is this the first quarter that's ever had three pay-per-views in it?
No, this was... we talked about that last time.
Q1 would have had Revolution and Wrestle... Nope.
Let's see. Recent Q1. I think I had this in the notes. So it's the second ever quarter with three pay-per-views. I don't know the first one, but in our notes from last time, I put the second ever quarter with three pay-per-views. Oh, it would have been last time would have been Wrestle Dream, Full Gear, and World's End, the final quarter of 2023. Right.
Okay. Well, this said Forbidden Door, Dynasty, Double or Nothing. They did in the same neighborhood, Forbidden Door we've got here. And this is, I'm always hesitant. People always want me to put pay-per-view number buys on paper. And I'm like, I don't know. We have what's in the Observer, which it seems that Dave is getting numbers from like somebody in the television industry and extrapolating an estimate onto the broader TV universe. And Tony will kind of say stuff in any case. 125,000 for Forbidden Door. Dynasty, 122. Double or Nothing, 134. So as a total number, this is higher than any Q2 to date. And there's little incremental cost with selling more pay-per-views, so that's a good thing for them over the course of time, right? On average, the pay-per-views were down. Double or Nothing was down 4% from our estimate of the prior year. Forbidden Door was down 14% from the estimate of the prior year. Dynasty has no comp. But in total, they did sell 34% more buys by running an extra pay-per-view.
Hmm. Which is something he's talked about forever. As you say, he said, I think he referenced WCW before in talking about it. So you talk about Wrestling Observer Radio and other places. He said, you know, there's no real detriment to running more pay-per-views. He said, if you look over time, there has not been, at least by his assertions. And I guess we'll kind of see how the rest of the year plays out.
Yeah, no, I think he's right. The pay-per-view is a price inelastic product, which is to say, no matter what the supply is, you basically have the same number of buyers. And that's largely bared out here. And of all the things that are down in terms of TV ratings and attendance, year over year, they're down like 20%, you know, 10% at least. And these negative deltas of, say, Double or Nothing, only down 4%. Forbidden Door, okay, down 14%. And in a quarter where you put more supply in here than the prior year quarter, two last year versus three this year, and you still, you didn't make less money because of increasing the supply. You made more money because of it. And I think you're dealing in pay-per-view with your most hardcore bottom of the funnel people who are the hardest to, if there's going to be a decrease in popularity, these are the people who are going to turn away last.
And my five questions for next quarter, of course, the media rights deal, which could be revealed by Sunday when you're listening to this, or before or after you're listening to this, could be a couple weeks, could be a month, who knows, but it's got to be soon. As we've mentioned before, whatever the final numbers for All In turn out to be, and assuming the attendance has definitely been out there, you know, over 50,000 are expected. How many are paid? Do they announce the pay total like they did last time to be consistent? And does Tony talk about what the gate was afterward, like he did last year? I think that'll be interesting. He confirmed that they are looking at an event in Australia. He did not say the word stadium show, but the reporting out there is going to be a stadium show. So when that happens, will be fascinating as well. The performance of All Out from all metrics to see, obviously, if they sell out the venue. I don't know what the last attendance count for All Out is, but there's the pay-per-view component while you look up the WrestleTix listed attendance and just kind of the buzz around it, because they'll have 2 weeks to build to it and we'll see how they do. And as we mentioned, the attendance woes for weekly TV, how they start trying to turn us around. Is there anything they can do? How low can you go? All the stuff we talked about before. What do we got for
All Out as of the 19th? 5,728.
Gotcha.
57.
think last year's did. I don't think last year sold up. I remember then a nine in the number last year, I think. It's not a big, not a huge venue.
I can look. Last year, 9,826, which was higher than the prior year of just over 9,000. And
Interesting.
that was last year's was at the United Center.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right.
And every other year it has been in this now arena, which
Yes,
was where All In, the first real All In in 2018.
that's right. And last year was the after it came a week after CM Punk was fired and all that, if you remember all that,
Oh
which seems like
yes. Oh yes.
20
It
years
was
ago.
days after CM Punk was fired, right? Yeah,
It
because he was fired
on a
on
Saturday. He was fired Saturday of Collision, and
yes.
then yes.
And then Tony Khan went out that night in front of the crowd before TV cameras were on and explained to the United Center of Chicago
Right. Oh, that's right. It's the day before. Yes. Oh,
why he fired CM Punk.
Time
Yes.
flies. Any other questions for you for the next quarter, or that pretty much cover that for you? What you're thinking ahead of work?
And to add to the Australia Stadium show, and I guess to put this with the Global Life Stadium show, the all-in show that they're going to do next year, July, they're clearly, at least, if not trying to get site fees and expecting and hoping to get site fees, they're at least they're trying to create a track record that will help them say, we provide great economic value when we run a big show somewhere. In Australia, and we should say the same thing about Wembley here. The first time they go to Australia will be really big. There's a huge novelty factor there. It'll be hard to repeat that same business when they go back, just as it is the difference in attendance of this year's All In versus last year's, whether it be 30,000 or 20,000, whatever it ends up being, lower, I mean, than the prior year. A lot of the 80,000 or the 72,265 that actually used their tickets or whatever happened, that's boosted by a novelty factor. Not it's down not just because maybe AEW is less popular today than it was a year ago, but also because it was the first show AEW ever did in Europe, outside of US and Canada, in a stadium, the first time they ever did, other than Arthur Ashe Stadium, a stadium show. So there was tremendous novelty and history-making factors happening there, just as I think there's a history-making actual draw in this era that exists that did not exist in like prior eras, which made All in 2018 sell out in minutes, which made the Madison Square Garden show in 2019 the first time somebody other than WWF is going to go to Madison Square Garden in however long. And how quickly that sold out, that people want to be there for history is a legitimate draw. And All In last year had that aspect, which this year's, it's not the first anymore.
I wonder if for next year, based on the success in Cardiff, even though they ran a pretty small venue, I wonder if they'll do, and you didn't see that much of a drop in terms of rating, even though it was a tape show, tape diamond. I don't know how many actual tape diamonds they've had in the post-COVID era. I don't remember really any. It's very possible. But I'm wondering if they do more international TV dates. If they're not going to see that much of a drop-off and you get in front of full houses and more rabid fans like WWE does, like others do. To me, that would make a lot of sense, you know, just especially if you're going to go to Australia, spend, do a couple weeks of TV over there. You're not going to go in just for the show and come back out there. That's a long trip just to do one.
Yeah, I just don't know what the added expenses of like bringing all your equipment or finding equipment that's overseas
True.
and if you're drawing enough to offset that, but that's definitely something I could see them doing. Maybe that does make sense.
Well, you can hear this man every week on WrestleNomics Radio on Sundays, usually around 11 a.m. Eastern. The first
Yes.
show of the month is always free on YouTube.
This week
$5
it'll
a
be
month.
on Friday. This week it'll be on Monday because otherwise it would be recording right before All In. So this week it'll be for subscribers only, and it'll be on Monday.
And you don't want to compete with the pre-show, the 2 hour pre-show or
No, I
anything like
certainly
that.
don't. The
No.
two zero hour, I do not want to compete with that,
No.
with RJ City and things of that nature, no.
Exactly. Maybe some Kip Sabian. You never know. You never know. But just for $5 a month, you can get all the action on WrestleNomics.com. You pay a little bit extra, $10 a month, you get access to
Spreadsheets.
more spreadsheets than your tax account would pass out if he saw all the spreadsheets you have
So much
access
data.
to. Yep, so much
Yep.
data, so much data. And obviously, here I'm on Pollock and Thurston Wednesdays, traditionally usually around 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You see that live on YouTube. And what else am I leaving out?
The Patreon, I think, is mainly TV ratings reports. So, like the first little section of it, you may see on WrestleNomics.com. That's free for everybody. If you want all my breakdowns and stuff for every TV show that comes out, I've got all of that. That's behind the paywall for subscribers, in addition to the quarter hours that I put out for every WWE and AEW show. We've got a pretty long 2-year-plus streak on having a continuity in data for that. Every month on the Patreon, there are these monthly reports that I do, which include things like looking at attendance since the month just finished, an estimate of merchandise based on the bestseller rankings of the merch websites, and other things as well.
Sounds good. All right. Well, thanks as always, Brandon Thurston. Appreciate the time here you spend every quarter. And thanks so much. And we'll see what happens. See us happens this weekend with the big TV deal. A lot to come. Can you imagine a world without talking about this TV deal? What's going to happen? To wait another 5 years before this all this
The
stuff
goal,
comes up
don't
again.
worry, the goalposts will be moved and AEW will still be on death's door
Oh,
regardless.
that's good. That's right. I forgot. Always moving those goalposts. Brandon Thurston, thanks so much.
Thanks.